Okay, we're on the stream, and this is the National Finance Committee meeting convened today, which is May 10th at 5:35 Los Angeles time, which is 8:35 East Coast time. My name is Ken Aaron. I'm acting as chair pro tem until the treasurer arrives on the call. So let's have an official roll call, Mr. Secretary.
Okay, somebody needs to mute.
Just a second, let me...
LeVarn's running the printer.
Yeah, no, it's not a printer. It's the people who are backing and who are cleaning the office. I'm going to go on mute.
Okay. Ken Aaron.
Here.
Jim Boyd.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Campbell Johnson. Tim Kaufman.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Tracy Rosenberg. Alex Steinberg. Barbara Wipperman.
Here.
LeVarn Williams.
Present.
Bruce Wolf.
Here.
Okay, that's eight. We have a quorum.
All right. We have a very short agenda here, but before we proceed to approving the agenda, are there any short announcements?
This is LeVarn. I'm going to have to go. I have a mediation tomorrow, all day tomorrow, and I need to go home and rest so I can get a good 8 hours of sleep.
Okay. Just before you go, could you apprise us of the when we can anticipate getting this month's reports?
I'm sorry?
When is the month closed?
We still have to do some adjusted interest. WBAI still have some adjusted interest to do. In fact, I'm sending an email as you're talking now that as of noon, we still, some of the reconciling items had not been done. So that either will be done tonight or we will close tomorrow.
And when will we get a copy of that?
When will you get what?
When will we get reports on that?
The reports I've asked them to have them ready for me by Friday.
Okay, they're going to be emailed or posted on the Yahoo website?
It would be, I can do both.
Good.
Oh, that's
okay.
For Friday for the report.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck tomorrow.
All right. Thanks a lot. Okay, and you guys have a good meeting. I'll listen and see what any issues that I need to address after listening to the meeting.
Thank you.
All
right, the agenda was very brief. It's approve the minutes and then approve the agenda, and there's going to be a mid-year budget reviews of three stations possibly and a discussion regarding executive session that Bruce Wolf wanted to have. And Bill had asked to add two items for WPFW, which is that the business manager has an access problem to some material, and there's whether or not WPFW's timetable for moving to new quarters has been accelerated. So I think we should put those right in moving the agenda before we get into the mid-year budget review. So I would make that approve the agenda, the two items from WPFW, then the mid-year budget reviews, then the discussion about executive.
Hi, Ken, this is Tracy. How are you? Thanks.
Tracy,
I did make it.
Turn it over to you. At this point, we're just approving the agenda. We haven't approved the minutes yet.
Okay.
And we had...
What's happened to the agenda since the draft that I sent out?
We're adding two items right after at the top, which is from Bill. One is to deal with an issue that the WPFW business manager has an access problem to certain reports. And the other is that WPFW timetable for moving to new quarters has been accelerated. That's two adds to the agenda, but we still haven't approved the minutes. So I was just going to see if there's no objections, if we could approve that agenda.
Okay, I just have one question about the agenda, for what it's worth, which is the item that the use of executive session from Bruce was kind of left over from a previous, listserv post that he had made, and I mentioned that we would talk about it, but we never did. So that's the reason that's there. And then our Paul had also brought up an issue that he was going through in New York that had some similarities. So are we leaving those items on the agenda?
Yeah. I didn't know about the one from our Paul.
Our Paul, are you here?
I'm here.
Okay. I think that actually your situation in New York has some similarities to Bruce's concerns about the use of executive session, so I thought maybe we'd talk about both in the same agenda item. Is that okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay, so I'm now officially turning the meeting back over to Tracy. There you go.
Lucky me. Okay.
To approve the minutes and approve the agenda.
All right, so going back to the beginning, so just in terms of the order of the agenda, what did we change? Ken, could you just brief me on that? In other words, where do we put the PFW item?
Call to order, approve the minutes, approve the agenda, which I actually started to change the agenda ahead of time. I should have approved the minutes. The WPFW situation on the business manager's access, the WPFW situation on timetable acceleration to the booth. Then the mid-year budget reviews, then the discussion of executive session.
Okay, so we basically put the PFW items up front.
Right.
Okay, fair enough. Are there any comments or further modifications on that budget? I mean, on that new draft agenda? Okay, are there any objections to making that the formal agenda for the meeting?
This is Barbara.
Yes, Barbara?
Before you came on, Tracy, we were reviewing which stations were actually ready to talk tonight, and I said that I was partially ready.
Okay, and what about your compatriots in New York and Los Angeles? Are they more ready or less ready?
Well, somebody said New York was not ready, I'm not speaking for that.
Okay. Our Paul, Kim, what are your feelings? Barbara says she's partially ready. Would you characterize yourself as really ready or not ready at all or partially?
Our Paul, want to go first? If not, I will.
No, I'll go first on this part. I think we're not ready to do it yet.
Kim?
I'm completely not ready. First of all, since our revised budget, I've gotten zero response from management at KPFK. And I don't expect any further response from management at KPFK. Number two, I tore a nasty muscle in my hip. It's really, really bad. And I had to cancel the finance meeting 2 weeks ago because I couldn't even sit up or drive. I'm getting better, and so I'm basically not at all ready. I suspect that, you know, I'll be better, and we'll have our meeting the 1st of June, and I'm going to try and double up meetings to catch up.
Okay.
But I don't know what I'm going to do with completely non-responsive management. Well, you know, we may be
coming to
management.
Okay, I'm not asking you for a report. You can bring up those issues, and you should when you do the report. But we're just talking about the level of readiness for tonight. Well, since we've got three, possibly four other items on the agenda, why don't we, I mean, I'm concerned that we do these mid-year budget reviews, but why don't we accept Barbara's partially ready, and I'm sorry for that, but
and I'm going to have to check out pretty quickly, but before I do, there's one thing I would like to say.
Okay, let me just finish the agenda thought, and I will go right to you. So why don't we do KPFA tonight, and then BAI and KPFK will have to go at the following meeting, basically ready or not, but you have two more weeks to feel more ready than you feel tonight. Does that work okay for people? Because once we get to the end of May and we get into June, we're going to have to start dealing with real-life budgets for this year. So that's why I want to get these done in this sort of interval that we have before they start being developed in their early versions, because we had set a deadline of May 31st for that. Is that okay as an agenda? And then I'll move to Arlene. Are there strong objections, mild objections?
Well, if Arlene has to leave, why doesn't she go first?
Well, she is. I'm just trying to get the agenda.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Agreed upon, and then I will go to Arlene.
Have we done a roll call?
Yes.
I don't know, because I got to the meeting 10 minutes late. I had assumed
we did.
But we can start again fresh from that point. Arlene, what did you want to say?
Okay, what I want to say is that we do, as you know, have the six...
Hello, Arlene?
Hello. Foster.
Okay, I think she blipped out, so we will catch... Okay, well, we'll catch her when she comes back, if she does come back. Okay,
can you hear
just one...
Now? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Okay. What I'm saying is that you've got the six-month reports or the half-year. Levarin is working very, very hard with the management of the stations to develop cash flow for the rest of the year and going into the beginning of the next fiscal year. And what I've seen so far is not looking pretty. We're really going to have to, I'm urging this committee to take a real hard look at it from that perspective, because we are going to have to make some decisions and work with each station to get this, make sure that we're coming in with less expenses than we are income for this fiscal year.
Yeah.
And it looks like that's going to be difficult. So I just want to go on record as giving that word of caution and letting you know I'm very concerned.
Okay. Duly noted, and Levarin, I guess, will be sending those cash flow reports so we can look at, so the committee can look at in concrete terms fairly soon.
Yeah, this is I'm leaving. I haven't left yet. So yeah, I will. I can send out the individual ones. I'll do it after the mediation tomorrow.
Okay, then we can talk about that at the next meeting as well, and an agenda item there to kind of talk about cash flow for the second half of the year.
Right.
Or not tomorrow, Thursday for sure,
yeah.
Because I'll be dead tomorrow.
Okay, but I think it would be good for us to have the reports kind of in front of us and, you know, and presented.
Exactly. Okay.
Sorry
that I have to check out.
No problem.
I'll be on the next meeting. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. All right, so let's do this. Without wasting too much time, I see Campbell's point. It's been herky-jerky. I'm sorry, I was in an airport shuttle. So let's go to the beginning. Let's start with a quick roll call by the Secretary, just to establish who's here and who's not and if we have quorum.
Oh, actually, we did that already, and I heard Campbell has joined.
All right. The next item is...
Privilege. Somebody's
what?
In an airplane?
No, no one's in an airplane. I'm outside on the sidewalk in D.C., and a plane is flying overhead. It's temporary.
Oh,
I'm
you're
sorry.
In D.C.?
I am in D.C., yes. I sent a message that I had a flight that landed at Dulles at 7:53
okay.
this evening.
Okay.
So, yes, I am.
Okay.
I am outside the Hotel Helix. But anyway, all right, so we have an approved agenda for this evening. The first item is to approve the minutes of the previous meeting, April 26th, which are sent out. Are there any objections to the approval of those minutes?
I have one correction. This is Bruce.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
In the report I gave, in the first sentence, it says it was reported that the general manager of WPFW, that should say business manager.
Okay. Or Paul, can you change that?
Yep.
Any other corrections?
Bill.
Yes, Bill?
And this is another really minor one. The KTRU, the Rice University station, is broadcasting on KPFT's HD2, not HD1 channel. So that's...
Okay.
Very minor correction.
Our Paul, have you got that, and can you make that change?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Are there any objections to approving these minutes as amended? Done. Good job, guys. Okay. So the first item, and you're going to have a little bit of patience with me because I don't have paper in front of me, but there were two WPFW items. I believe one referred to access problems for the business manager. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, why don't we take that one up first, and I don't know whether Bruce wants to introduce it or Campbell. I don't know which one of you.
No, I can do that.
Okay, Bruce.
It's just something I mentioned, and I'll just say it again. Our business manager is having problems. He can't generate reports that we need, you know, revenue and expense reports from the Great Plains, because he's locked out, and apparently it's because the auditor recommended that the business managers be locked out. I guess it's because out of fear that they might go in and make changes or something. But it's frustrating for us, frustrating for him, and I just wanted to point it out, and I don't know if there's a way to resolve this so we can, because it's hard for us to get the reports we need for tracking, you know, the 2011 expenses and revenues as they go,
okay,
go on.
Yeah, I mean, as a point of clarification, I'm assuming that what you mean is that the business manager is locked out after a period has closed. In other words, can't go back and make retroactive adjustments. Is that correct?
Right. He could probably describe it a lot better since he's the one having the problem. All I know is that when I request reports from him, he's telling me that he can't generate them because he's locked out.
Barbara for the stack.
Okay. I think LaVarne will probably have a commentary on that, but Barbara, go ahead, and then we'll go to LaVarne.
This sounds familiar, Bruce. Our business manager is having a problem, and there was apparently something called the Report Writer database, which was available to business managers until recently, and I'm not quite sure if it had something to do with an updated software in the Great Plains, and then the new, when this became the part that was being used, this Report Writer was no longer available. And it's making the business manager in our office can do reports, but they're very difficult, take a lot of time to be doing input for data, which actually used to happen a little bit more automatically. And I think there was some problem of, you know, affecting the computers in both offices. And I think that if it's costing us so much time and making it so difficult to have reports that we can rely on, then this ought to be addressed somehow.
Okay. I'm going to ask LaVarne if she has a comment on this, because I assume that she knows a little bit about
this. She does.
It.
There's been a little bit of discussion when we had business manager-treasurer meeting with her. We did talk about this a little bit.
LaVarne, are you there? Do you want to make a comment?
I bet she's gone.
Oh, no. That's going to make this difficult. Getting to a resolution.
Well, Bruce.
I don't think it could be resolved tonight. I think this is.
Right.
Yeah,
I think we're going to need LaVarne present to get a little more clarification on what the problem is and what we could do about it. Does anyone who was present at the treasurer meeting have any ability to sort of paraphrase what LaVarne said at that time, or should we not even try that?
No, I mean, I think Barbara and who else spoke about it has it about right, you know, that it's just the way it is.
Do you, may I ask if Kim, anybody else notice this lack of the report writer capability?
No, it's not an issue for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, our guy gets whatever he gets out.
Mm-hmm.
Who's speaking?
Kim.
Oh, Kim, okay.
Well, and LaVarne spent a lot of time in your office recently. I'm wondering if you guys have this and some of us don't. I'm wondering about that.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
R. Paul, you're the other Yeah, are Paul and Jim, I don't know if Jim is here, or are the other two treasurers, are you guys experiencing this at your station? And I heard you, Bill.
See, there's no, nothing's been expressed by the general manager or the business manager.
Okay. Are Paul?
They haven't said anything to me about this.
Interesting. Okay. Bill, you're next.
Well, I guess maybe the question for LaVarne might be if something's been changed because of a recommendation of the auditor, maybe they changed the wrong thing. It sounds like that they were supposed to just prevent changes after the books close, but instead you can't even get read access. Is that correct? So that
apparently,
you can't get reports?
Apparently when our business manager requests reports, he can't get them. He's told that he's not allowed to get them, which doesn't it doesn't make sense to us because it's really our data.
Okay.
You know, it's
so
our input, and we should be able to get a report based on it. And I want to see it because as treasurer, this is how I can verify whether or not we're sticking to the budget we plan.
Okay. So maybe we should just ask LaVarne to check into this and make sure that the business managers have the access they're supposed to have so they can generate a report.
Yeah, and mention that KPFA and WPFW are reporting problems in that regard.
And I'm certain that Maria understands this, and you could use this terminology, the report writer database.
Point of information, do we know when the next treasurer report is? Because we could take that up on that call. I believe we do have another one coming up. I'm not aware of the date.
You mean a treasurer meeting with the CFO?
Hello.
Yes, that's what she means. Is there another one scheduled? I know there was one in March and one in April.
Hello. I'm LaVarne. I'm here.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, here's what we're trying to get to the bottom of. The business manager at CFW and the business manager at KPFA, not the other stations, are reporting problems with accessing the report writer feature in Great Plains. They're saying they're locked out and it's making them have difficulty generating reports. Do you have a comment on that? What's happening and what we might be able to do about it?
Yeah, we talked about this at the business managers meeting, the last meeting, and we talked about, I think, there was a problem, an issue with, I think that there had been a problem with the database after, in terms of setting the report writer, and when another business manager had gone in to access it, it caused the formatting and everything to change. So that was one of the reasons why I think there was a lock that initially done a lockout. But what we talked about at the business managers meeting is that we would have another, like at the end of each business managers meeting, what we try to do is set up a little teaching session before and after. So that is that. So when we have the next meeting, which should have been this month, and I think we can do it at the end of the month, that we will go through the teaching session again to show them how the individuals who has an issue how to actually access the database. So again,
okay,
what we're doing at the beginning and end of each meeting, we have a teaching session where the business manager must be there, and we walk through how to access FSRX. And then a question like we did with the FAC committee is that I had gone in and looked at the training. So it's either a combination of training or a combination, well, it's all training, but in terms of how to use the database, how to use the FRX without making it so that we have to re-input and reset the report writer.
Okay.
So we're working on it individually to fix this.
Mm-hmm. So to reiterate, what we're going to do about this, or what the recommendation from the Finance Committee is you're going to convene another Treasurer's meeting before the end of May, and in that Treasurer's meeting, you will provide the information for how to work around and reset the report writer database, and you will make sure that information gets to the KPFA business manager and the PFW business manager who are having problems.
or not the treasurer's meeting, but business manager's meeting.
Yeah.
The business manager's meeting, sorry.
Right.
Okay. So you promise that one of those will be scheduled within the next week or two?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we have to, because we have to have another meeting to go for the budget, to see the status of the budget.
Okay. So yeah, I guess what we'll do with this item is we'll check back in after that next meeting and see if that solved the problem or didn't solve the problem. Okay. Barbara?
My question is, when you're calling this meeting a business manager's meeting, is it like the others where the treasurers will be there also?
I wasn't planning to have the treasurers there at all.
I see.
If you have time, you would be welcome to sit in.
I just wanted to be clear what you were saying.
Okay. Well, maybe, LeBarn, you could notice the meeting to all five treasurers as well, and if they feel that it would help them to attend, that they
I'd like to know when it's happening anyway.
Uh-huh.
LeBarn,
okay.
Can you do that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
And the Finance Committee.
You can just send like a CC on the time and the date of the meeting to the Finance Committee. Listserv, and that way everybody will get it.
Ms. Bill.
Our fault for stack.
Okay, LeBarn?
Okay.
Okay. We have our Paul, then we have Bill.
All right,
yeah.
I'm going to go.
Okay.
Or do I need to be there?
Let me just say, I hadn't heard about anything about a report writer. However, FSRX problems I've been hearing about for quite a while, so I hadn't realized that FSRX was also called a report writer. So I have.
I think it's one and the same.
Yeah, well, now I'm hearing it is, but I've been hearing our business manager having a problem with FSRX access.
Okay, so the meeting will happen, and the treasurers are welcome to sit in to get a little more in depth knowledge on what's going on and what the workarounds are. Bill, you were next on the staff.
Well, yeah, just a suggestion. If some of the business managers know how to do this and some of the others don't, my suggestion is just that maybe they can collaborate by email and don't have to take time during a meeting to do that. It may just be a matter of how to use this software. And then they can, if they still can't get it solved, they can bring it up at the meeting. That would be my suggestion.
Yeah, cross training is good. Absolutely.
It's training. We set aside dedicated time, at the beginning, at the end, and the business manager has to be there and go through the little process. We're sitting here, we're waiting for them for the first 30 minutes before, and then 30 minutes.
Okay. I'll just make sure it gets taken care of. Okay, thank you.
Okay, sounds good. I think we're ready to move the agenda forward. And there was a second WPFW item, and I don't remember the details, so I'm just going to call it second WPFW
time
item.
For their move.
Well, Bill asked for an update on what's happening with our relocation.
All right. Carry on, Bruce.
Okay. First of all, in a sense, there's not a whole lot to update right now. We are in the process of, and I don't want to go into any details, but there are a couple of properties that were more or less in negotiation. Hello? There were kind of in negotiations over, so if there's nothing definite right now as far as, for sure, but we've been looking over the sites and also our general manager just went on a trip around the country looking at other radio stations just to get more information on physical layouts of stations and costs and things like that to better prepare himself for the negotiations he's going to be in. We had a relocation committee meeting last night, and from what was said, though again, this is not definite, it looks like the process that we're in right now would be over by the end of the year. So at least for now, it seems like most costs having to do with relocation will be taking place in the 2012 year.
Guys, could you, like, maybe wait for me to call on you? I want to keep it low, but...
It's a little hard because...
Well, April
15th,
right.
Is there something...
Levon doesn't realize she's on the line?
Levon, there's some noise coming from your background. Could you mute when other people are talking or something? Okay, Bruce, continue.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let me think. So, Bill's question was,
William, could I ask?
Yeah, go ahead. Well, there was something else you wanted to know.
Well, I guess most of my concern was, since the move looks like it's going to have to be moved up substantially, do we need to worry about the budget for this year?
Well, that's what I was just trying to address. To the best of my knowledge, it looks like the costs we're going to be incurring are still going to take place in the next fiscal year. There may be some costs that we're incurring right now, for instance, the hiring, having a consultant work with us, when we're looking at the sites and things like that, a few things like that. But the more substantial costs still look like they're going to be taking place after October 1st.
Okay. Good.
But what's happening, the sense that we are moving on this whole issue, though, because we have to, settle on the site sometime really soon. And that's what we're involved in right now is doing that. Because then after we know where we're going, then it's the whole issue of, getting costs for the move, the upgrading, and all the things that have to do with the relocation. And by the way, that's what I'm trying to get I've requested our general manager to give us some kind of an idea, a good idea of what kind of costs we're looking at. I haven't, I expect to have that information before the end of the month so that we can put it in our budget.
Great. Any other questions for Bruce? Campbell, do you have anything to add?
No, I was at the same meeting last night, and I would be to a fair extent redundant. But I think that we could do, and one thing that's very important, and we're trying to get it for local D.C. area relocations, would be the kinds of costs and time frames that are involved in doing this, getting some idea of that, and if we have a similar kind of situation related to another station somewhere in our family, that I think may be somewhat helpful for us to be able to look at. So if I know that none of our main stations have made these kinds of relocations, but if anyone is aware of another nonprofit radio station, some similar characteristics that would have made a relocation recently, we can get an idea of at least the categories and the time frames involved.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's a question, and don't everybody answer at once, okay?
Bill?
Off the top of my head, I don't know. Bill?
Okay, but if something comes to mind, please and or Bruce a call.
Definitely, sure. Bill, you were next on the stack, I think?
Yeah, I just kind of answered maybe Campbell's question. You might want to check with some of our affiliates, because and Ursula might be able to give you some suggestions, because she's helping new stations get set up. There may be some things that you could learn from them. She might could give you some pointers on getting facilities and stuff like that.
Okay, that I think would be a good deal. And Bill, that opens up another area of inquiry that I had, since I think you're all aware that federal funding that we were seeking had dried up or disappeared or blown away or something. But
the PSPP,
Yeah, but the thing that I question subsequent to that is, like maybe we can go upstream a tad on it. While we may not be in position to be talking about the latest digital equipment and whatnot, there may be somebody who's got a warehouse with something that, you know, they just took in because they had just sold the latest equipment to somebody or another. And if anyone in the network, you know, any of you folks are aware of anyone with, you know, the kind of configurations that we have in a very broad context, then I think it would be very good. We would like to know who they are and see who may have the, you know, last generation of equipment that maybe we can be able to free up from a warehouse for maybe not such a princely sum.
Okay. This is Tracy. Bruce, go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to throw in it. Bearing on what was just said, I want to reiterate that our general manager just returned from a kind of whirlwind tour around to various cities around the country looking into just this kind of information. So if anyone's got anything to share, I think we need to check in with our general manager because he just got back, so I don't even know the details of everything that he learned or saw or anything, but there might be, I don't want to have people, you know, just repeating the same thing he did, so we need to actually get a report from him. But but he's doing a lot of this kind of information gathering. So
okay.
I just want to put that out there so we're not...
Okay, yeah, that's great.
My point still remains, please.
Okay, well, this is Tracy. I just wanted to add, for what it's worth, that while PFTP is nominally dead, there are a couple of folks in Washington, and I'm doing some lobbying tomorrow, are trying to resurrect it, and apparently there's some modicum congressional support, although I don't know how deep and broad it is, and of course everything in Washington works slow. It may not be at all useful to PFW in whatever timeline it comes along, but people have not given up totally on resuscitating the program.
Well, Tracy,
for what it's worth.
While you're in town, and if you're doing that, which sounds great, if you got the time to stop in.
Yeah, I was going to talk to you about that, yeah.
Yeah, that would be good, because I think that would hearten, because we did some pretty monumental work in putting together our proposal for that money. So if there's a chance that it could be reopened, you know, we're ready to go.
Okay, well, I'll communicate with you and Campbell offline, and my schedule's a little frantic, and I'm only here till Friday, but maybe we can figure out a time to get together and at PFW, and that would be great. I would like that very much. So
okay.
I will email you.
Great.
Okay, thank you.
Great.
And then you can work it out. Who knows? Arpal?
Yeah. I'm glad to hear things are going forward, because this is something I've been seeing for a while as the big deal that's coming up for all of Pacifica. Now, there are two things, aren't there? Because of lead abatement, you're having to move your antenna
right.
place, plus the general move of the station per se. Now, in terms of the general move of the whole station, my understanding was that the lease is up in, like, July of 2012, but you're thinking to get it extended to the end of 2012. Is that still on?
The lease is up in November of 2012, but we feel that the drop-dead date for being out of there is July of 2012. Now, I know there was some talk about extending, and I don't know, but really our target is to be out of there by July of 2012.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, that's how we're looking at it.
Okay, so it's like November 30th, 2012 is what the lease says.
That's when the lease is up.
Okay, so the July date is in fact a goal, but
we're making it. We've tried to make it, if possible, a firm goal.
Okay. All right.
Right, so they're not demolishing the building around your embers.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And,
right,
and
we'll be still fundraising there while they're tearing it down.
That might be good radio, you know.
Yeah, I know.
We are with the wrecking.
It's kind of exciting.
Really.
The other thing is the lead abatement and your antenna thing. That was moved up by a year, so...
Yes, they've moved it up. Now, I don't have details right now on exactly... on what we're doing, because it looks like there still may be a chance that we're going to be able to keep our transmitter at the, we're out on an antenna at American University, and it may be possible that we're going to be able to stay there in any case, that there's the way they're going to do this thing. And I don't have, you know, firm details on that yet, and a lot of it is because we're in the middle of this fund drive, and, you know, nothing's really... moving forwards during the next week and a half until we get this drive over. But it is possible that we're still going to be able to stay out there and avoid the move, but I don't know that for sure yet.
Okay.
Barbara,
well, that was good news if it happened. Barbara?
I just wanted to mention one radio station in our area, and maybe you know about this more than I do, Tracy, but there was a commercial station which became a now membership station for classical music.
Well, yes, I do.
KEFC, I believe.
Uh-huh.
KEFC.
D as in dog.
KD.
Mm-hmm.
FC.
Yes.
And that's in the Bay Area?
Yes, San Francisco, I think.
Okay.
It may have been located some town nearby, but it took over the frequency of a college station that closed down, sold their whatever you call it.
Yes, they sold us their license. I can sort of continue on that. The administration of the University of San Francisco put their license on the market. It was bought by the University of Southern California to house the classical station KDFC, which used to be commercial, and is now moving over to the right-hand side of the dial.
And they're moving physically, aren't they? Didn't they move physically?
They are in the process of doing both. In order to facilitate that, they knocked off two non-commercial frequencies and bought their license. One was KUSF, which was one of the most venerable college radio stations around in the Bay Area. The other was a Christian station called KNDL. So they are taking over both of their...
KNDL?
KNDL. They are taking over both of their licenses, turning themselves into a classical format, non-commercial station. Public Radio Capital facilitated the sale of the licenses. It was similar to what happened to KTRU at Rice University. KUSF has gone to an online-only format. The transmitter has been moved to Sausalito, to Mount Beacon. Originally, the FCC disputed that move. It looks like they are going to approve it on the second turnaround. The FCC has not yet approved the license sales, but it is likely that they will.
Well, I don't know if this is part of what the general manager, you know, his tour around the country, if he included this changes in this station, but it sounds like their budgeting would be pretty complicated. And anyway, there is a station that you could...
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
It's
being
research.
Handled by, I mean, I think there's some negatives to this trend. That's sort of diversity in the Bay Area, blah, blah, blah. But that said, KUSC, the radio station out of USC, is the entity that's handling it. They are now the licensed owner. Brenda Barnes at USC, and you certainly could mention to PFW that they have been doing a transmitter move and a station move up in the Bay Area, and he's someone that he could talk to about what it costs.
Tracy, your voice is getting garbled at some points. What's the name of the station that we could contact?
You would want to talk to Brenda Barnes at KUSC, which is the University of Southern California.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's regarding the move of the station KDFC. I think it's a negative transaction in some ways, but that said, they can certainly provide some logistical information. This is, of course, different because it's a license transfer, not just a move. but they can probably talk about what they're spending to execute the move.
Okay, terrific.
This is Bill.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay, Bill.
Yeah, I'm confused now. Was it the transmitter that the relocation was moved up by a year, and now it may not happen at all? Or which one is
going to
be moved
up a year? Oh, yeah, maybe that's what you were thinking of. See, the antenna out at American University houses a number of radio stations, or just one of them, and they're going through a lead abatement process. And originally, they're doing it, I forget. They were either going to start from the bottom and work their way up or vice versa. I forget which was now. But the thing is, we were not originally expecting to be affected until around this time next year. But then they got a hold of us about a month or so ago and said they were doing it a little differently and they were going to be doing our part of the antenna sooner. So that's what came as a surprise for us. But we're trying to deal with that, and I think there's a chance that we may still not have to move our transmitter. But if we can't work it out with them, that we would have to move it. We have to temporarily be located on another antenna somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Okay. Are we ready to move the agenda? Okay, the next item is...
Sorry, this is Ken. I was on mute. I just had one quick question of the WPFW people.
Yeah, go ahead.
Have you implemented an overall plan for fundraising for a special fundraising for the move? Furniture, any kind of special programs?
Not specific. What we're doing right now is we really are... We're reaching out to major donors. And that's another thing that happened just last night. We had a meeting of major donors. Actually, it took place at the French Embassy. And the general manager told me it went off very well. And the idea is, we're going to be looking in that direction for raising necessary funds. But I don't have anything definite right now.
Bruce, if you could forward us any, you said the GM would be identifying some costs sort of towards the end of the month.
That's what I'm asking for, yes. Right, and he told me, and he understands that. We've got to have something. And by the way, it was explained to me that some of our costs, will be under, capital assets or whatever it's called, and some of the costs are going to come under maintenance, technical, and maintenance engineering. And some of that is where they'll be putting some of the costs for the move itself. But we need some figures, and I'm told that we can get them. Of course, when I say that, it's not just that we can get them. I mean, management's got to put it together anyway for our budget. But our target is to get it done so we can meet the May 31st target date for having a reasonable draft of our budget is what we're trying to get to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then just one follow-up question. How many new sites have you isolated so far?
Well, right now, people give us suggestions for different things, but there are two sites that are... looking very much like where we may be. And in fact, we may even end up in both of them eventually, because one site probably wouldn't be ready for us in time for our move. And what we may end up doing is going into one and then later taking advantage of another. And I don't want to talk at this meeting in an open meeting on details. But these are very realistic sites. I mean, we're in negotiations with people, and we've toured the sites. We know what we're getting. One of them would involve less upgrading, because it's already a studio of sorts, and so we you know, the costs look favorable. It's just a matter of working out a lot of details. And,
okay.
But if, you know, but if a better place turned up in the meantime, we would look at that too. But right now, there's these two places.
Okay, well, it sounds like at some point in the future, and I don't know if it's the next meeting or the meeting after, we might want to schedule an executive session to talk a bit more concretely about various sites.
Yes.
Okay. But obviously not now, so.
Right.
Okay, so let's move the agenda forward. The next item is the KPFA half-year or six-month budget review. I'm going to stick my phone on mute and check into the hotel and grab some food, but I'll be listening. And, Barbara, it's all yours.
Well, this is interesting because I think you should go ahead and do what you need to do, but neither LaVarne nor you are going to be on here. And some of the things that I want to say are the reason I was saying earlier that this was a partial report was because I'm still working on trying to understand how these reports don't match when the and they're not off a lot, but what we get from the national office and what we can produce in the station. So I'm just going to talk about that for a while, and maybe some of these problems will it'll ring a bell with others, you know, like a few minutes ago we were talking about the report writer, and then it turns out that it's also known as the FS whatever. Maybe some of these things will sound familiar to people. I guess what people have been reporting was the kind of bottom line things, and the revenue for KPFA for the first 6 months was $1,992,930. One report that we generated at the station in the middle of April put it a little higher than that. But anyway, this is from the report that LaVarne distributed to all of us. I note, and those two figures match are actual. Eventually, we have a report from the station that matches that. However, we still have some difference in what the budgeted amount was. And this is where the problem of entering how the budget is used. I know that our business manager asked in LaVarne's office of Efren whether he changes the budget when the fundraising dates change. And we haven't really gotten a clear answer about that. It appears that he probably uses the budget that was established in October of 2010 and doesn't change the way the income flows if the fundraising dates change. Maria does change the way the income is supposed to come in based on changed fundraising dates. There's no, you know, it seems that that's the best thing to do in order to get accurate reports. But then we end up with some differences in the budgeted columns, and then, of course, differences between, you know, what the difference is between what the actual is and the budget. And the same thing happens with salary expense, because we had some positions budgeted but not filled, and Maria would drop them out of the budget at the time where the position was empty and put it back in the budget when the position was filled and there was going to be salary expense. So I don't know if anybody else is having this kind of problem. I would be interested to hear that. One other thing, when I'm reviewing the statement for the 6 months, in the line item of shared expenses, the Central Services new name, there's in the column of the variation between the budget and the actual, all three of them have a different, well, one is expressed as a negative or, you know, with parentheses, and I think, and Maria does also, and this is on the report from Laverne's office, that it shouldn't have parentheses, and then the other quarter doesn't have parentheses, but I think it should, and at the variance at the 6 months is again different as far as what we think ought to be there. So I don't know if anybody's looking at the KPFA sheet specifically right now, other than me. But have any of you noticed anything like that?
Is Bill?
Is Ken going to?
So Barbara, is end? Barbara, is that the end of your report?
Well, these are the questions that I have. Yes, and I mean I could read totals off of this report, but I, as I said in the beginning, I wanted to take the opportunity to at least talk about some of this, some of these problems, and that was why I was saying partial.
Okay, so my question is whether you want to address how KPFA is doing in terms of its revenue and expenses in accordance with the budget or not.
Well, I can certainly read these, and but I still have questions about whether, you know, the bottom line is accurate because of these things. So,
okay, I think having said that, it would be helpful if you would do a brief summary of where KPFA is for revenue and expenses. I'd like to hear that, and then we can go to, and then we can go to questions. And I have a few of my own as well.
Okay.
Okay.
So the revenue in the income, according to our actuals, is, as I said, $1,992,930. Direct expenses, which is before the shared in expenses and the capital items and so on, is $1,587,418. Adding in the shared expenses of $303,532 leaves the net income of $101,980. And then we have the capital items, $33,120, leaving a surplus of $68,860.
Okay, thank you. All right, so I guess that's that. Why don't we go to questions? I have a couple, but I heard Bill and Ken, so why don't we go to Bill, followed by Ken?
Well, it's just, I know I've noticed, and a few other people have noticed, sometimes it's a little confusing. This is, relates to Barbara's mention of whether things should be in parentheses. Several of the items are, the convention is, red in parentheses mean that it's worse than budget. Right? It could be either positive or negative, but I think that's confusing too. But as long as it's clear, I guess that's okay with me. I always thought parentheses means negative, but it doesn't necessarily mean
it means the opposite of what. Well, as one of the terms that I've always used is, whether a thing is a minus or a plus, it depends on what the heading is, what the topic is, you know. So when we're talking about shared expenses, this is just one little example. Our actual for the first quarter was $168,063. And the budgeted amount was $119,324. So now, what would you say the difference should be. Should it be in parentheses or not?
I would say it should be positive because it's more than the budget.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an expense. Yeah, I realize that. Of course, your expenses are higher because income's higher than listener support, right?